Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In July, a report by the Waco Independent School District found that parents of students were moving their kids out of the district, citing concerns of campus misbehavior, among other things. A new pilot program at two district schools might help to address those concerns. In this episode of Behind the Story, we'll talk with Waco ISD Superintendent Bonnie Kane and Trudy Bender, Waco ISD's Coordinator for Behavior Intervention. The two talk about the new pilot program and what it offers students and educators. The method is called restorative discipline, and it's being piloted at two of the district's schools, Waco High School and Carver Middle School. Restorative discipline has been used across the country, and it takes its cues from a movement in the criminal justice system, where the goal is for offenders to redress the harm caused by criminal behavior rather than being locked away. And in schools, with restorative discipline,
rather than taking students and excluding them from their school community when they've committed some kind of an offense, instead you try to help them make restitution and repair the harm that's been done to relationships.
That's Trudy Bender. She's Waco ISD's Behavior Intervention Coordinator. She says restorative discipline is a departure from the traditional disciplinary model used in schools, which generally revolves around zero-tolerance policies and suspension. Within the last year at Waco ISD schools, there were roughly 1,600 in-school suspensions. That's where a student is removed from their classroom of instruction but remains in school. There were also about 1,150 out-of-school suspensions. That's where a student sent directly home. Officials say all this time spent outside of a student's primary source of instruction is difficult to regain. And while one of the goals of restorative discipline is to reduce those numbers, Waco ISD Superintendent Bonnie Kane says it's a process that takes time to develop.
At first, restorative won't change that much because the part of the restorative is internalizing that here's the way I should be interacting with other people. Well, that's not instant pudding.
But it eventually gets results. That's according to a report by the Institute for Restorative Justice and Restorative Dialogue at the University of Texas at Austin. Their study follows Ed White Middle School in San Antonio. The school switched to a restorative discipline model in 2012. By the second year of the program, in-school suspensions for conduct violations dropped 65% in 6th grade and 47% in 7th grade. The results Waco ISD hopes to mirror, and Bender says they all begin with a culture change.
Step one in a really restorative approach, Step one is a school that's already built a culture in which student voices are valued and staff values. It's humanizing for everyone in the school building, that they've already sat in circles together and talked about things that were not discipline related, just getting to know each other.
The circles Bender is referring to are key to the restorative discipline process, but they're also used to get students and teachers familiar with sharing and communicating with each other. And that seems to be the biggest hurdle for restorative discipline across the country, finding teachers who buy into the process. And in the pilot program at Waco High School and Carver Middle School, Bender says restorative discipline facilitators are there to ease that transition.
So the restorative discipline facilitator will start working with a lot of staff because the staff behavior is really what changes first, long before the student behavior changes. And so staff members, especially interested staff members, we like to start where the wood is dry. So we go where people are already interested and already restorative in their approach and really build on their success.
Across the district, there are other restorative-minded approaches and programs in other schools, like peer mediation and student court. If proven successful, the pilot program could be extended to other schools in the district. With KWBU, I'm Carlos Morales. Superintendent Kane, restorative discipline is a program you're piloting at Waco High School and Carver Middle School.
Well, it's a pilot program for Waco ISD. Okay, it's not a pilot program. It's actually been in the nation and in different states and different districts within Texas. So it's new to Waco ISD. And we were looking for something that would be the most effective plan we could possibly use to work with our students and their families.
Is this at all related to the Safe Schools Ambassadors Program?
There have been several programs that we have tried. At one time, we didn't even, every campus did their own, okay? Well, we decided a couple of years ago that the elementary and the secondary should have the same programs, not same as each other, but all the elementary and all the secondary, because we have a high mobility rate. So if we know we have a high mobility rate and our students go from Alta Vista to Crestview, they shouldn't have to learn a new system. Okay, we want them to spend their time, we want them to spend their time learning the curriculum and not a new system. So we would like our classroom rules to be the same everywhere our students go. So the elementary schools chose conscious discipline. And it's a good, solid program. It's probably not that far from restorative justice, actually. It's more about, you know, problem solving and decision making. You know, think about this. Do you really want to do, you know, is there another way to solve this problem? You're angry. Is there something else you can do other than hit? So conscious discipline, and it also gives our teachers a way of talking to students. Instead of saying, I can't believe you did that, or you're bad, or what's wrong with you? It is those questions that, because the teacher gets frustrated because she's trying to teach and this happens. So we're trying to make certain there's this system that is proven to work. Then at the secondary, they actually chose Boys Town. Some of them had brought in consultants. Some of them did the training of trainer model. We were having a lot more staff movement at the secondary, and there was a little bit of disagreement. Some of them didn't think the second Boys Town worked on their campus as well as something else. And about that time, Ed Love moved to the high school, and he asked me, would you give me a year? Because I've got other issues right now, rather than hit the staff with, here's a really training intense model. And Dr. Shepherd at that time was at University High, and he's kind of like the Yoda. So I didn't even ask him what he was doing. It was working. It was working well. And the last thing you want to do is say, oh, we got this great program that works. Well, what we're doing is working. So we just kind of let it go. Well, during mid-year of Mr. Love's first year, he and Alonzo McAdoo is the principal at Carver, and that's a feeder school to Mr. Love. He said, there's a program I'd like to look into that I think would be good for me, and Alonzo McAdoo would like to try it too. Well, and I was okay with that, because if you can get a whole district to do something, it's nice. But sometimes you're so worried about the whole district doing it that you're kind of working with form over substance. If the middle school seemed to be working well with their modified version of Boys Town, and Shepherd was doing great with his program, and McAdoo and Love wanted to do that, plus it's a different program, it's an expensive program, and I thought they would be good to pilot. So I said, that would be great, it sounds wonderful. And about that time, Trudy Bender and our special education department, which gets funds for things like that. Now, Safe Schools Ambassador was actually a part of a Suspend Your Student to School grant, and it was an effort that started about 4 years ago, so that when a kid misbehaves, you don't want to send them home, because sometimes that's where they want to go. So we want to keep them in school. So we would suspend them to school meant they got consequences for their behavior, but they are still in a learning environment. And several different things could happen to them. Teen court was one thing. Saturday diversion school was another. And that was one that you bring your parents. You bring your parent. And at first, on Saturday, the parent and the student would come in and be like, oh, I can't believe we're here. What time is this going to be over? I can't believe my son's having to do this. I got better things. Blah, blah, blah. Within an hour and a half, the parent was saying, is part two to this? This is going to be over too soon. This is really good. I know how to talk to my kid better. I know this. I know that. We get rave reviews, and I won't say it's 100%, but I'd say it's 95% of that our Saturday diversion school is a win-win. For the campus, the district, and the parent and the child and the family. So that was a part of it. Well, we're losing that grant. Now, we're applying for it, but its cycle had ended. We're reapplying for it. We're trying to fund as much of it as we can. Teen Court, I think we're able to do that, and the Saturday Diversion School, but it probably doesn't have as many bells and whistles. So we're trying to hang on to that, hoping that the state will fund us again. I think we have a good chance at that because all of our data, I mean, they'll have a four-year baseline data to work from, and we're so much better at this, at learning how to do this. So I'm hoping we get that back, that we can go back to a full-on suspend your student to school program, but right now that's just to be another component that we have.
So there are several models of discipline programs going on right now and at different levels.
Right, but also restorative justice. One of the things that Mr. Glove and Mr. McAdoo might want to use would be, you know what, this kid and their family probably could use that kind of training. Why don't one of the consequences for this kid's behavior be, look, you don't have to go to the DAEP for 3 days or to be suspended for 3 days if you and your family will commit to go Saturday to that Saturday diversion training. Well, that's the whole heart of restorative justice. It's like, what can I do? One, you got to have consequences. So you have to give up your Saturday, and they may have to do something else. I don't know. But look at the positive outcome. If you and your parent have a better idea of how to behave or how to deal with frustrations, we're not here to punish you. We're here to change your behavior so you can be in a classroom and your behavior won't keep you and other people from learning. So even though it was kind of a different program, there's still a lot of overlap. It's also one that our officers can use, you know, because our police officers, they would prefer not to give tickets. Now, obviously, for drugs, and there are certain things we give tickets for, but for maybe disorderly conduct or some of those other things, their first choice is, I won't give you a ticket if you'll go to teen court. And again, we see that as restorative justice. That's probably one of our most successful programs. They don't like going in front of their peers. And at first, I kind of thought the peers were going to be easy on, you know, that they might fall into being too easy. No, I think they're maybe a little bit tougher than
pretty
some
tough
of the things we do. And it sticks more. It's almost like the student might go back into bad behavior after dealing with an adult more so than dealing with the teen court.
The goal of restorative discipline, then, is to help reduce the number of suspensions?
I don't care where they go, what it is. We want all that to stop. We want our kids coming to school and saying, I want to go to class, and I want to be there, and of course I want to behave well because I want my class to go well. So it doesn't matter if it's a big misbehavior, a little misbehavior, if it's rude, whatever it is, we want it all stopped. And we won't stop until we have a pretty darn good, peaceful, calm school campus environment.
So restorative approaches help you shift away from previous traditional methods of discipline?
Discipline is really consciously deciding what to do, are you going to react to something, are you going to respond? All of those decisions that you don't even think through. If you get in a situation, they're just kind of automatic. They're automatic because someone helped get them automatic. Mm-hmm. Our kids, we need to be that, step in and be that piece with the program that says, okay, he just hit you. You're right. He's wrong. Okay? Now, he's in trouble. Do you want to be in trouble too? Because I guarantee you hit him back, you're going to be in trouble. Okay? Well, but he did this. Okay, you're right. He did this. It's just that problem solving. So, yes, that's what we're trying to do through this is give them whatever skills that they need for school and for their life to be more successful. The part of the restorative is internalizing that here's the way I should be interacting with other people. Well, that's not instant pudding, okay? But the real key for the restorative is that there are options. You may say, okay, you just got in Miss Jones's face and you used a really bad word in front of her, and when you walked out, you just raked everything off her desk, okay? That's not okay. That's not okay for that. Now, I can suspend you for 3 days, or what could we do that Miss Jones would know you're really sorry that you did? And you got to be really sorry. You just can't say, I'm sorry. Okay? You're going to have to convince me you really regret that you did that. You embarrassed her in front of the class. You defied her authority. And that was very disrespectful. Now, what could we do to say to Miss Jones, what needs to happen that he can come back in your class? Or be suspended. Okay, so obviously your teachers have to be on board with this. And you know, there are some things that a kid just needs to be gone for. I mean, and we got to start some other way, but we try to make those not so many. I mean, you just can't walk up and punch somebody in the face, okay? So I don't want people to think that we're trying to be all soft and fluffy on, you know, every kind of a situation that we have. We are not going soft on crime. We're trying to change student behavior for the positive. And I think even the most diehard would probably agree that, you know, if you keep throwing them in jail or keep suspending them and the behavior doesn't change, it's going to be an endless cycle until they drop out, and then we have another problem. Or do we want to say, you know, our whole society is based on forgiveness. And 99.99999% of the teachers, they don't want the kid out of their classroom. They don't want the kid in their face. They don't want the kid hating their classroom. They didn't get in this business because of that. They got in this business because they wanted to teach kids and help kids have a better life. So in 99.999% of the cases, but it's got to be substantial. It can't just be, okay, he writes, I won't be bad anymore 100 times. I mean, this may be, you're going to meet her at her car every morning, and you're going to carry her books in, and you're going to help clean up her room. I mean, it's got to be. And also, when you put them in situations like that, you can't help but start that dialogue between them, that they start seeing each other differently. And that's what you're trying to do, because everything we do in Waco ISD with students is built on relationships. I know it's trite. They don't care what you learn. They don't know how much you care. But it's true. It is true. And the higher percent of poverty, the more it's true for a district. For us, it's an absolute truth. We have got to, just because it's the right thing to do, not only because it's the right thing to do, but also because that's how you change lives. I mean, for a lot of kids, they've had enough people, adults, not doing what they said, not taking care of them. Sometimes they have to take on adult roles much earlier than what they need to. So they're kind of robbed of a childhood. It's no fun to sleep out on the streets. It's no fun to be living with another family. It's no fun living in a car. It's no fun when there's yelling and screaming going on all the time. It's no fun when you're worried sick if your mother's going to make it home because you know she was working until 2 in the morning and she's having to walk. I mean, all of those things aren't kid things. So what we've got to do is make up that difference. We cannot judge them. We must look at what situation they're in and help get them to the next level and to the next level and to the next level. We can't quit, ever.
And now we'll hear from Trudy Bender, the district's Behavior Intervention Coordinator. Trudy, what can you tell me about the Restorative Discipline Program? What's its main objective, and how exactly does it work?
Well, restorative discipline really comes out of a movement in the criminal justice system over the last several decades in which offenders, rather than being locked away, are helped to make restitution for the crimes that they've committed. So the application of that in the schools is called restorative discipline. And the idea is that rather than taking students and excluding them from their school community when they've committed some kind of an offense, instead you try to help them make restitution and repair the harm that's been done to relationships. So it's a change in focus. The traditional disciplinary focus would be what rule's been broken and how do I punish the student for breaking that rule. In restorative approaches, we ask the question, what harm has been done and how can we repair the harm? So it's a change in focus.
Is this something new for Waco ISD?
Well, it's officially a pilot program in 2 of our schools. Restorative approaches have been used in Waco ISD for several years. We have several programs that are very restorative in their approaches and many principals and teachers that are restorative, where rather than trying to exclude the student from the school, they're trying to work with the student and help the student gain the skills they need to be successful. So, for example, our Suspend Kids to School program is very restorative in its approach. That would include Safe School Ambassadors. Peer mediation is a very restorative approach where 2 students work together with a mediator to work out their differences. Student court is a wonderful model for restorative practices in which they give the student sanctions that don't exclude the student from school but allow the student to make a contribution to the school. And then Saturday diversion, which brings families together, offers support and training for students that are struggling with behavior. So those are a few examples of things we already have going that are restorative. Now, as a formal approach, school-wide restorative discipline, that's a big shift. And that means that the principal is on board, and it also means that they have a full-time person on campus doing nothing but restorative discipline, because this is a lot of work. It's very intensive, often evenings, weekends, making home visits, community contacts, lots of work and preparation going into that and working with the students. So we have two campuses that have full-time restorative discipline coordinators and are really focusing on this approach as their primary approach to discipline, and that's Waco High School and Carver Middle School.
And what does this role look like?
The title is Restorative Discipline Facilitator. That's the title that we decided to come up with because really what they're going to be doing is facilitating restorative approaches to discipline. The job description will include looking at the entire school and moving that school through a process from more traditional approaches to discipline, which are the zero tolerance, suspend the student, put the student in ISS or whatever, moving the school, training the staff, working, bringing people along to a more restorative approach. So it's a big job description, and it rolls out over several years. It's not something that you can just walk into a school and say, now we're all restorative. Our traditional discipline methods won't go away. They'll still be there, but we're going to start adding in restorative practices wherever we can and training teachers and training administrators on how to do that. So the restorative discipline facilitator will start working with a lot of staff, because the staff behavior is really what changes first, long before the student behavior changes. And so staff members, especially interested staff members, we like to start where the wood is dry. So we go where people are already interested and already restorative in their approach and really build on their success. So you start with staff members sitting in restorative circles together with each other, building community, addressing issues, practicing that, starting with students that are interested and volunteer to come and sit in restorative circles and work on their skills. And then you start bringing in the discipline issues. If you start with the discipline, then students associate it with, oh, I did something wrong, now I have to sit in a circle. So we want to start with the community building. This is about having a voice in your school and being a part of a community. We start there, and then we start adding in, now some harm has been done, how are we going to repair it? Who do we need to bring into this circle? What kind of a conversation do we need to have?
Can you take me through the restorative process? What's it look like?
Yeah, well, restorative, you can't be around anybody who does restorative discipline long without hearing about circles. Circle is kind of your basic format for having a conversation. And what it means is that the participants in the circle, whether it's just a community building fun circle to talk about an issue that's of interest to everyone, or whether some harm has been done and needs to be repaired, or it could be a student that's returning from a disciplinary placement and the people that are involved with that student sit in a circle. There's all different kinds of circles you can have. But the basic format is that the participants are prepared beforehand. You don't want to put people together in a circle that aren't ready to talk to each other. So the restorative discipline facilitator does a lot of work ahead of time with those folks, gets them very familiar with the questions that are going to be asked, possible solutions, prepares everyone. You get the right people in a circle. You use a talking piece or some kind of method to make sure that everyone has a chance to speak without being interrupted. And then you work through a process in the circle, and each circle would have a different process. A community building circle would be different than a harm repair circle, which would be different than a circle that's bringing a student back from a disciplinary placement. But the basic format that's often used in restorative discipline is that circle. There's also just restorative chat, or just, you know, two people talking with each other. You know, a teacher that's skilled in restorative approaches would just sit with the student and say, what happened from your point of view? What were you thinking about at the time? What do you think what harm has been done, and how can we repair that harm? And what can we do to make sure it doesn't happen again? I mean, that's also a restorative interaction. It's not formal. It's just two people talking. Mm-hmm. But we're going to train our behavior aides and our teachers to use those kinds of questions to try to address the root causes of what behavior are, rather than just excluding the student from the classroom.
If I'm a student, is step one of restorative discipline me acting out or misbehaving?
So step one in a really restorative approach, step one is a school that's already built a culture in which student voices are valued and staff values, it's humanizing for everyone in the school building, that they've already sat in circles together and talked about things that were not discipline related, just getting to know each other. And that does take time. And so we want to make sure we're not taking away from instructional time or other things, but that we're finding intentional ways of building a school culture that's positive and supportive. And for our students, that's critical. Many of them are lacking connection. They don't feel like school is a safe place for them. Not necessarily that it's physically unsafe, but that they maybe have not felt that they're successful in school, or that the teachers and staff are pulling for them at that school. They feel like school is not their place. We want our students to feel like school is their place. And many of our administrators want to be even more intentional about creating that community. That's step one. When that's in place, then when you get to step two and a student has a discipline problem, it's easier to remediate that problem. Because you can say, look, you know about this teacher, you know a little bit about their family, you know a little bit about what's going on with them, you know that they're on your side. They've shared with you some things going on in their life. You can share what's going on in your life, and let's work it out together. That would be step two.
Okay. And then that's where, in that step two process, mm-hmm. that's where the circle or that one-on-one
exactly.
engagement comes into play.
Exactly. And it's very skillful work. That's why we have full-time restorative discipline facilitators to model what that looks like, to work. What we don't want to do is say to any teacher or staff member, you should start doing circles in your classroom until they feel very well supported. It's something that they feel comfortable doing and that they have the skills to do. So our restorative discipline facilitator will be starting small, building lots of modeling, lots of training, doing it together with staff members, with students, and really showing them everything about restorative discipline is something that you do together and that you experience. It's not something you really can get by reading a book or hearing an interview. Until you've sat in a circle and experienced that, especially with kids, you can't really get how powerful it is. It's a great experience to sit in a group and really have a chance to hear your own voice and then listen to other people's voices. It's a powerful approach.
And all this takes place within the classroom?
It can. Of course, you're not going to take a lot of instructional time to do that.
Right.
But let's say that once a month, a teacher takes 20 minutes at the beginning of her class time to say, hey, let's find out. Or let's say every Monday morning, for 10 minutes in that homeroom, they take a time to just do a checkup circle in which people share what's been going on in their weekend, what they're looking forward to for the week. Then maybe on Friday they do a checkout circle. Here's what's going on. Here's what I'm looking forward to. You know, just making that intentional doesn't need to take a lot of time.
What's the ultimate goal of restorative discipline?
The ultimate goal is to really reduce out of school any kind of exclusionary discipline. That means ISS, suspension, placement in a disciplinary setting. We want to keep our students in the classroom as much as possible because every time they're suspended or when they go to their disciplinary placement, they're missing their regular classroom instruction. And so what happens is they fall farther and farther behind. The chance of them catching up is less. And they also feel less connected to their school family. And in addition to that, very often the behavior problem was never addressed. Out-of-school suspension is only a punishment or a deterrent to a student who just loves school. And for many of our students, out-of-school suspension is a reinforcement. If they're trying to escape difficult schoolwork, out-of-school suspension isn't really a punishment for them at all. They're often unsupervised and can get into there are other issues with out-of-school suspension, can get into trouble that way too. So not only are they missing their instruction and falling farther and farther behind, they're not getting the remediation that they need. Now, in a restorative discipline approach, a student may still be suspended from school. That can happen. If it's deemed to be appropriate. But that out-of-school suspension time will be used to remediate the problem. A home visit by the restorative discipline facilitator, talking with the student, talking with the teacher or the administrator, trying to get to the bottom. And when that student comes back, there will be a circle in which we talk about what happened and attempt to repair that harm.
That was Trudy Bender, Waco ISD's coordinator for behavior intervention. Earlier in the program, we heard from Waco ISD Superintendent Bonnie Kane. This has been Behind the Story. For more episodes of this program, visit our website at kwbu.org.